You know, as I sit down and tape this, I think about my wife's birthday is tomorrow. Her birthday was actually on the same day as WrestleMania 15, which is actually one of my favorite WrestleManias. Maybe that's why I married her.
No, baby, that's for somebody else. We're just going to keep you right where you're at right now.
It doesn't matter what you
think. The Wrestling Realm presents Break It Down with Brian H.
Welcome, everyone, back to another episode of Break It Down with Brian H. Episode number 3. You know, I'm happy to have you guys here, and ladies, you know, appreciate you joining me on another episode. Let's get right into it. Man, Daniel Bryan is returning to WrestleMania. You know what they say, folks? There are times when you feel that you can predict everything that is going to happen, but you just have to let the story play itself out. Then you'll find yourself entertained. This is one of those moments. Did we know Daniel Bryan and Shane McMahon would possibly be facing Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn? Absolutely. The story has been building since before the Royal Rumble. Nonetheless, it's going to happen, and it's going to be great because I'm going to enjoy it because my favorite wrestler of all time is back in the ring. So, you know, but there was news this week that broke, and that was Shane McMahon had suffered diverticulitis, excuse me if I pronounced that wrong. I work in the medical field in communications. I shouldn't know how to pronounce everything, but so many different types of diseases. Nonetheless, you know, he suffered from that. It's an infection. I just don't believe that Daniel Bryan would have came out there and made the match if Shane was not going to be ready by WrestleMania. This will be fun because if you didn't see SmackDown, let me inform you. The stipulation goes as follows. If Daniel Bryan and Shane McMahon win the match, Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn will remain fired. If they lose the match, Zayn and Owens will be reinstated. So that makes me wonder, and I'm going to be paying attention to this for the next few weeks, will Kevin Owens keep his Twitter as Fight Steen Fight, or will he go back to Fight Owens Fight? You know, he's clearly, you know, he's living in the gimmick. There was even reports that we saw El Generico surface online. For those who do not know, that was Sami Zayn in the Indies. There's also people speculating that Daniel Bryan could possibly be turning on Shane McMahon and joining forces with Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn. Now, Bryan said he doesn't wear suits and he doesn't like sitting in meetings. He wants to wrestle. Clearly, so I think now we see that his days as being the GM are numbered. This could set up a monster feud between him and Shane McMahon, but that would kind of be a mistake because that would seem as if you would have Daniel Bryan being the heel and nobody's going to boo him. You know, it gets me into Jim Cornette. He said on his show that he just doesn't see why WWE, what he would do if he was booking, is he would have Daniel Bryan be set on a collision course with Roman Reigns, put Roman as a heel, and let Daniel Bryan ultimately down the line slay Roman Reigns. And that he said, because you just can't write this. You know, there's no way people are going to cheer. And when you look at Roman Reigns, what's the main reason why people boo him? As the real Dwayne Allen says, fans have not forgiven him for what happened at the Royal Rumble in 2015. I know people say, well, they wanted him to win it in 2014. As I said this again, I've said it before, it wasn't the fans wanting him to win. They just did not want Bautista or Bluetista or, you know, Bautista to win. So this will be fun to watch. We get Daniel Bryan finally back in the ring, and, you know, I am excited. But you know what? Let's move on, and we're going to the top rope for this week.
Going up to the top rope.
It's time for this week's Top Rope segment of the week.
This week's top rope is none other than Rusev. Now, why is that my favorite thing this week in wrestling? Because Rusev is going to be in a match at WrestleMania, and it's not the Andre the Giant Battle Royal. We saw this guy come out with Ada English every week, and Ada English sings Rusev Day. And he's been entertaining. He's been hilarious. And then you go to the mixed match challenge, and he and his wife Lana, and Rusev is singing, Lana is the best, Lana number one. Well, clearly this man is over with the crowd, whether you like it or not, the powers that be, but Rusev is over. Now we're going to get him in a match at WrestleMania. He's going to be challenging for the United States Championship, where he'll join Jinder Mahal and Bobby Roode, who will challenge Randy Orton for that belt, or excuse me, for that title. Now, I've said this, Jinder made this match interesting for me, but now adding Rusev, now I'm really buying it. It's hard for me to say, but, you know, and I think I'll get into this more next week as I make my predictions, seeing as we're less than 12 days away from WrestleMania, depending on when you're listening. But it's hard for me to really think about who's going, which match is going on the pre-show. Now with Rusev, I don't know. Can you put Rusev on the pre-show? I mean, yeah, he's become that big. And then, obviously, you can't put Randy Orton on the pre-show. So, now I definitely don't think this match goes on the pre-show. As a matter of fact, it may open the show. But in the way he got in this match, you know, he was Jinder Mahal's partner. And Jinder says, you know, I'm happy. I'm going to give you a front row ticket to WrestleMania. And I knew when he was in that match, I said, this flows. It had a certain type of flow. It was better than Jinder and one of the Singh brothers against Orton and Bobby Roode. But it just flowed. And then it just made sense. I said, these four belong together. And we will get all four of them. And that's why I'm happy Rusev is getting his just due. And he will have a match at WrestleMania. And let's move on over to Monday Night Raw. Roman Reigns gets destroyed by Brock Lesnar again. Now, we're getting a different story than from before. Before, the story was, you know, Roman was coming. He was kind of like that young lion. And Paul Heyman had, you know, pumped him up and told him he could be great and he could be this. But he couldn't beat Brock. But not this year. This is, you know, Roman is making the argument that he's there every week. And Brock is just there for the money. And every week, Brock has been beating him down. So what's going to happen next week? You know, Roman's, in case you don't know, he's no longer suspended. So now it makes me wonder what's going to happen. I'm hooked to this story. I know it probably will. I really don't hope it closes the show. The WWE Championship should close the show. The Royal Rumble winner. You build the Royal Rumble to get to WrestleMania in this case. Now, I know you can't do that every year, but then again, I understand Roman is the guy, and that's where they want to go. So, that's where it probably will be. But nonetheless, Roman Reigns, like I said, just getting destroyed again by Brock Lesnar. He's going to have to do something different, or else he'll find himself down 1-2-3. And I thought the good image I love was Brock Lesnar getting on the steps and just standing up there and reminding everybody that he was the beast incarnate. Now, if you haven't been paying attention, WWE does some of the best production work in the world. You can look on the internet, you can go all over the place, you'll see that even people who don't like wrestling. When I worked at ESPN, people would even say, oh, you're a wrestling fan? Oh, man, they do really good production. What I really liked was the vignettes that Triple H and Stephanie had as they were getting ready for their match between Kurt Angle and Ronda Rousey. Really like how this stuff was put together. And this goes to show, these two, they train every week. They're not just training for a WrestleMania payday, nonetheless. They're training every week, night. You know, if you follow them on Instagram, you'll see a lot of times they have midnight training. And as a father of two, I know myself, a lot of times that's the best time to get stuff done is when your children are asleep, as I'm doing now, recording the show for you. But then, you know, we saw Ronda Rousey and Kurt Angle, and Ronda Rousey was approached by Paige with a proposal, and Paige asked her to join Absolution, and Ronda declined, and it was just weird to see her toss Mandy Rose. I said, just leave it to the submissions. But no, she tossed her around like a rag doll. And the suplex was, I cringed when I watched it. And I know she has some ways to go, but it was definitely cringeworthy. I was like, wow, you can't be throwing women around like that. Yeah, especially if they're not going to land properly. Now, I want to see Ronda and Sonya Deville eventually get on a collision course. Ronda could put Sonya Deville, put more eyes on Sonya Deville, while Sonya Deville could kind of help Ronda make a seamless transition. If Ronda's here to be full-time, then we'll see what happens. But speaking of Ronda Rousey, let's get on to our Tapped Out segment of the week.
Here's our Tapped Out segment of the week.
So, my Tapped Out segment this week is Ronda Rousey's media appearances. I was explaining to my wife that her media appearance on ESPN this week was cringeworthy. Her discussion with Trey Wingo and Mike Golick, where Ronda seemed that she was being a heel. And as I look at this, I'm saying, wait a minute, you're a face. You may have a natural heel attitude, but you're a face. You need to, you know, I understand they was asking a sensitive question. They asked her, when did she know that her MMA career was over? And the way she answered, I never said it was over. Then Golick said, okay, so if you could go back in time, what would you say? You know, basically he was asking, when was the time to make the transition to WWE? Well, I don't have the ability to go back in time. Why not just say, you know, I never said my career was over. I am in the WWE right now. We don't know what the future is going to be. You know, with a smile on your face. Then the ESPN's first take. Now, I didn't see the whole segment, and I'm going to call them out and say they purposely must not have put that clip on YouTube or their digital platforms. Any other segment would have been on their platforms. Like Stephanie McMahon, Triple H, I guarantee you their segments will be on they all over social media. So I was a little like, come on. You know, but I did see a clip because people like to record their televisions or screen record their computers. And I saw a clip with her and Max Kellerman getting into it. And it was another thing, cringeworthy. And I say this, I'm like, okay, Ronda's a face. So why is she going on television acting like a face? Now, she did talk about having run-ins, and you thinking, oh, well, the way she's been acting, maybe I'm about to get some dirt. And all she did was talk about the run-ins she had with Steph when she made her first appearance, her run-in with Dana Brooke, and then Monday Night Raw's run-ins. So you right there, it was like, okay, well, she obviously gets it, and she's playing. Maybe she's taking it. So it was maybe she's taking it to the, you know, maybe she just had a personal vendetta against them. But nonetheless, that's my tapped out. I'm tapped out on Ronda Rousey and her media appearances this week. Now, tell me something. Tell me something. John Cena has been calling out The Undertaker each and every week, and there's been no response. To the point he upset The Undertaker's little brother, and Kane came out there. And when Kane came out there, he beat him up to the point they had to have a no disqualification match this past Monday on Raw. And what happened? Well, John Cena won, but he did a lot of Undertaker-isms. The slit of the throat, the sit-up, and then at the end of the match, after he won, he looked in the camera and rolled his eyes in the back of his head. So this makes you wonder, we got one more week. Will we get Undertaker showing up on Raw, or will we get Undertaker showing up at WrestleMania? I saw something on Twitter. Shout out to my boy Greg DeMarco. He says if Undertaker shows up at WrestleMania, that's the WrestleMania moment. I wouldn't mind that. Personally, I think I would like that better, because then maybe you have it where he doesn't really have to have a match. He'll end his career, hopefully, at an equal 25 matches with a record of 23 and 2. And just a side note, remember when Undertaker was 20-0 and it was like, rumors was Vince wants him to go to 25, and we're thinking, oh, he's not going to make it to 25. And now look at him, he's possibly could be having a 26th WrestleMania match out of 34 WrestleManias. That's impressive. So, I don't know. I would rather see just the moment happen. They don't have to have a match. Just have a fight. I know it sounds weird, John Cena and not having a match at WrestleMania, but as long as they get John Cena at WrestleMania, that's fine. Now, on to the WWE Championship. All right, so I said before I was not happy by the way Shinsuke Nakamura versus AJ Styles for the WWE Championship was being built. I was not happy, and then I thought about it. They keep reminding us, this is a dream match. The story tells itself. I don't need them to go out there and beat each other up every week, because at the end of the day, we're looking to see two of the world's best competitors get in a ring and wrestle at WrestleMania. Should be the main event of WrestleMania. And AJ said they're going to go out there and tear it up. So I'm fine with that. And I really thought about that. And one of the things, Shinsuke has been playing a lot of mind games. AJ Styles has been keeping it very respectful, very straightforward. But Shinsuke has been playing a lot of mind games. This past Tuesday on SmackDown, he decided, you know, after he beat Shelton Benjamin, he told AJ, I never needed you to be my partner. After he just asked him earlier, I need your help because he has Chad Gable. But he reminded him, he said, I didn't need you to have my back. He said, I just wanted you to see what I was going to do to you. Knee to the face. And then after AJ Styles got attacked, Shinsuke helped him out. And then he set up for the knee to the face and then just stopped and laughed at him. If that's not mind games, I don't know what it is. Now, I want to know, is Shinsuke, are we going to get the one when he went up against Samoa Joe and he played around too much and it cost him the NXT championship? Or are we going to get the serious Shinsuke Nakamura that won the title back from Samoa Joe? That's what I want to see. Rumors are AJ Styles is hurt, but he said he's wrestling the match no matter what. So I do believe that whether he's hurt or not, we're going to get a great match, ladies and gentlemen. But now let's take a break.
What's good, everybody? This your boy Drizzy Dre, Mr. One and Only from the Flex Zone, Mondays at 10 p.m. on WBGR. And right now you are listening to Break It Down with my boy Brian Age, brought to you by the Wrestling Realm.
All right, shout out to the Flex Zones. Big, huge thanks to them, always supporting the show. Dom, can't wait till WrestleMania. We're going to be all together, so that's going to be a lot of fun. Let's move on to the women. And, you know, we're going to start with Charlotte and Asuka. Reports are Charlotte is injured. She did not participate in the mixed match challenge. So Bobby Roode had to find another partner. I'm wondering, what does this mean for WrestleMania? We got less than, like I said, less than 12 days, depending on when you're listening. I recorded this, less than 13 days away. So I don't know. What's going to happen? Is she sick? Is she hurt? Who knows? Hopefully she'll be back, because that's another dream match. Charlotte versus Asuka. That's a money match right there. Now, let's move on. Nia Jax, Alexa Bliss, the Raw Women's Championship. And this past Monday on Raw, we saw Nia Jax take on Mickie James. And after she beat her, did you think she was going to lose? Because right now, Nia Jax is a woman scorned. And, you know, people say woman scorned, but a lot of times they're referring to getting their heart broken by a man. But friendships tend to be as important as relationships. And right now, Nia Jax is a woman scorned who has been bullied and had her past used against her by Alexa Bliss, who was her best friend. So Alexa Bliss tries to get up there, and she completely messes up a sneak attack. It was a worst sneak attack attempt, but she hurried up and got out of there. This has been building, because when you look at this, it's been building since the summertime. And now Alexa Bliss and Nia Jax are going to collide at WrestleMania. Now, I know people want to see Sasha Banks and Bayley wrestle at WrestleMania. I do too, but right now the Raw money match is Alexa Bliss and Nia Jax. That is a match of inspiration. Not only, and you got to think, folks, WrestleMania, yes, it's to showcase the Immortals, but at the end of the day, the WWE's audience is children. And Nia Jax is serving as an inspiration to all of those little girls who constantly get picked on for their size. whether it's because they're too big or too small according to the standards that their friends have set. So this is when she raises that moment, that's going to be an inspiration. But if she loses, that's another thing. But what if she loses? You know, her reaction, we will see, will show little girls, how do you bounce back from adversity? Now, Sasha Banks and Bayley, they could take us into SummerSlam, you know, and they could be, by then, they'll probably be in exchange the title about 8 times between them, each other. But nonetheless, that's a feud that, yeah, we want to see, and there's a collision course bound to happen. But right now, the money matchup is between Nia Jax and Alexa Bliss. So, you know, but it was great to see Sasha and Bayley finally bump heads and finally say, you know, enough is enough. And it's mainly Bayley, Sasha. So this is going to be ugly for a long time. And maybe by the time we get to next year's WrestleMania, those two will be vying for the women's championship. So let's move on to the tag team championship. It's official. The SmackDown Tag Team titles will be on the line. It is what most of us thought it would be. A triple threat tag team match. The New Day, the Bludgeon Brothers, and the Usos. Will this match get on the card? I think for us fans and people who like to talk about wrestling, that's more the story than the actual feuds. Is will the Usos finally get on the card for a WrestleMania? So that's what I want to know. I mean, whether they win or lose, I could care less. I just want to see the boys get on the card. But, you know, Raw, the tag team titles, Braun Strowman, he hasn't named his partner yet. And shout out to Glenn Thomas of Wrestling Marks of Excellence Radio. Glenn says he thinks it should be the Big Show. And I agree. I think that would be good stuff right there. It would be interesting nonetheless, and it would be a huge disadvantage. But then they have to win, which, you know, wouldn't be a problem. I do think Braun is set for bigger and better things after WrestleMania season. But nonetheless, why not? You know, Sheamus and Cesaro, they've been great tag team champions. But I kind of wanted Sheamus to beat Braun on Raw, because if you beat me, I'll tell you my partner. But what I did think was cool, if he was on Twitter, Wale said, the rapper, he said to Braun Strowman, hey, man, I could be your partner. And Braun told him, you know, I don't play well with others. I wouldn't want you to accidentally get these hands. So, we all know Wale is going to be down there for Wale Mania. If you're in New Orleans and you like to go out, I definitely recommend you checking it out. Give you an opportunity to just party with some of the wrestlers. Yes, there'd be WWE superstars there, Impact Wrestling stars, Ring of Honor stars. You know, when I was there last year, I saw EC3 and New Day and Chris Jericho. So, you know, that was really, really cool. So, but yeah, he'll be there. So who knows? Will he get his WrestleMania moment? But now I want to make a quick note for those who do not know. I was on Instagram and I saw Michael Bennett wrestled a dark match. I thought that was great. If you know, Michael Bennett had taken some time off. He had to go into rehab. He had a substance abuse addiction. And, you know, obviously WWE was helping him with that, and the fans got behind him. And his wife, Maria, posted it and, you know, just saying how happy she was. And, you know, she's pregnant and their baby girl's due soon. So, you know, shout out to Michael Bennett for changing his life around. And can't wait to see him back on television. So now, let's address the elephant in the room. Hulk Hogan. Now, I know, if you know me, you know I'm the biggest Hulkamaniac. I believe I talked about this already a couple of shows ago. Also, if you know me, you know I'm a black male. I was not happy with his comments when I heard them. But I have to tell you, as a person who's read 2 of Hulk Hogan's books, I understood that the person who said those words was not the same person that was in the WWE in 2015. Many people will not get that. Many people will not understand that. I understand that, you know, politically he may support somebody who's not so popular. Do I agree with that? No. But what I did notice was reading a book and watching the A&E special. Here you had was a man who was not happy. Not happy with himself, not happy with, you know, just the way life was going. He was on the verge of suicide. And it was Layla Ali, the daughter of the late, great Muhammad Ali, who called him up and invited him to church. Now, I'm not going to get into the spiritual aspect other than to say that, yes, like Ted DiBiase, like Shawn Michaels, like Eddie Guerrero, Hulk Hogan had found Jesus, and like Sting and Lex Luger, he found Jesus and he turned his life around. But anybody who knows, a lot of times when you do that, people tend to only remember you as who you used to be. But, you know, when you look at the timeline, the tape came out. It was around the time his wife was looking to divorce him and his son was in jail. It was a very rough period. Doesn't make any excuses, no. But what I would like to see is Hulk Hogan, like I said, you know, in a sense, he's, you know, would like to see him apologize. I believe, you know, I know he has, but, you know, I would like to see that. And Mark Henry said some things. He said, you know, he sits on a board with all the black wrestlers, like the delegation board. And he brought up a good point. And a lot of people have been, you know, I'm on Facebook and everybody's got an opinion. But Mark Henry probably said the best thing. He said, yeah, he said, you know, said they're not ready for Hulk Hogan. And of course, when I read it, I was like, oh, whatever. But one of the things he said was community work and stuff like that. That's what he wants to see. And I'm not going to say, oh, yeah, that's the only way I'm going to accept Hulk Hogan back. No, but I will say that I can understand Mark Henry saying that and see understand where he's coming from. So I'm interested to see what happens. Obviously, I would love to see Hulk Hogan back. I think he should be back at WrestleMania. WrestleMania doesn't reach the heights without two people. That's Hulk Hogan and Vince McMahon. There's no other way to put it. You know, people can say everything they want. There's a reason Hulk Hogan was in the first 8 main events at WrestleMania. So, and granted, I know people are saying, well, he wasn't in the main event of WrestleMania 4. No, he wasn't, but he was the ticket seller. He was the one that drove the tickets home. If you look at the matches that you knew we were going to get, his match with Andre in the first on the second round after the bye was the main event before. And what I mean, what is the main event, was that it was the out of the match you knew you was going to get. That was the match you was looking forward to the most. So, yes. And at the end of the day, he closed the show. And I know Hogan must pose. So people might say, but it was Randy's night. It was 30 years ago, this past Tuesday. So, but yeah, let's get Hulk Hogan back in the WWE. You know, guys like Booker T, you know, he forgave him, so... You know, let's get him back. All right, let's discuss a little bit of 205 Live. Guess what? The match is set for the Cruiserweight Championship at WrestleMania 34, where Cedric Alexander will take on Mustafa Ali. It's another match I believe should be on the main card, but I don't think it will. Can we just make WrestleMania 5 hours? Do we have to have a pre-show? Do we have to have a you know, those 2 hours or 1 hour beforehand? People going to be there anyway. You're going to tune in. If you were planning, if you want to see all these matches, regardless, you're going to go to your location in time. So just make it 5 hours so nobody has to feel like, oh, I was on a pre-show. Because guess what? Ain't nobody in New Orleans coming to the show at 7 o'clock. They're going to be in the stadium by 4. Even if... At 5 at the least, you're going to be there in time. So it's already going to be jam-packed. So man, I can't wait to that match. I don't watch much 205 Live. I watch it in, you know, on demand. But this is a match I really, really want to see. Let's talk about a little social media. If you've been paying attention, Monday Night Raw, the social media score drop. Those are the ratings, folks. So, you know, It's the Nielsen ratings for television, but now with social media, you got to track it, right? So last week, there was 2.034 million interactions. This week, it dropped to 1.887 million interactions, which is still good. It's still amongst the most tweeted about show on TV. But, you know, how do they get that number up? And I almost guarantee they will be up next week. It's the Go Home show. It's in Atlanta. So I'm almost guaranteed the number will be up. And I'm telling you, you go. I've been to a Go Home Raw before Mania. It's nothing like it. It's one of the best shows. It's obviously not as good as the night after Mania, let's be real. But it's still a good show. And so let's move on. It's time for Wrestling for the Culture. It's time for Wrestling for the Culture, where we take a look inside to see what the wrestlers of color have been doing this week. All right, this week's Wrestling for the Culture. Like I said, we got Cedric Alexander versus Mustafa at WrestleMania. We had some of our black queens kicking butt at Queens of Combat this weekend. Savannah Evans, Kiara Hogan, Faye Jackson, Renee Michelle, and Willow Nightingale. This week we also saw Moose earn a title shot instead of getting fired in a Feast or Fired briefcase situation at Impact Wrestling. Fred Rosa, aka Darren Young, he spoke on his friendship about his friendship with Bret the Hitman Hart. Bret, as you know, suffered from prostate cancer. Fred, or as many people know, Darren Young, uncle, is a doctor, and he, you know, that's his specialty. So, and Bret said that it was Darren's uncle that gave him the best advice, and he was the most helpful, as we saw Bret Hart beat prostate cancer. Shout out to Bret Hart. Shout out to Fred, Fred Rosser's uncle. And we also saw Owen Knight retain his Viral Pro Outbreak Championship. Ladies and gentlemen, that is Wrestling for the Culture. You can go on my website, thebrianhwaters.com. Make sure you check out Wrestling for the Culture. And make sure if you got any wrestling news for wrestlers of color, send them my way. Tweet me at Brian H. Waters, or, you know, find me on Facebook. And now, final segment of the day, your favorite part, From the Realm, baby. And now for this week's questions from the realm. This week we got my homie Miller underscore J. That's Jamila Scott. I'll just put it out there because it is on her Twitter, so you know it if you saw the questions. Her question for the podcast this week: how would you book Daniel Bryan in his return? That's one question. Well, I'm gonna be biased. You asked me. You gave me the book, so I'm gonna take the book. I would make the build where at WrestleMania 35, Daniel Bryan would be taking on AJ Styles for the WWE Championship, and he would win. Now, how do we get there? Well, first we get through Shane McMahon. You know, we get him and Shane McMahon through Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn. Then Daniel Bryan would take on one of them each. And then he would sit up there and make a case about never losing the title. But then somebody else would come and get involved. And then, you know, we would put him up against guys like Chad Gable. Put him up against some of the best wrestlers. Dolph Ziggler. Because Dolph Ziggler said he couldn't beat him. But I'm building, you know, I would have him in Money in the Bank, but he wouldn't win. You know, he'd have a personal match at SummerSlam. Then, you know, by Survivor Series, he's going to be wrestling in the, you know, the brand split. And then he would win the Royal Rumble and go on to main event, WrestleMania. And let's see, what else we have here? She says, and who would you want his first match to be against and why? So, obviously, when Jamila wrote the question, SmackDown hadn't been booked. So, I mean, SmackDown hadn't aired, which meant the match for WrestleMania hadn't been booked. So guess what? This is what we do. We'll say what his first one-on-one match would be. It would be against Sami Zayn. I just feel that their styles would be fun to watch. It would be them two at the pay-per-view after WrestleMania. I wouldn't give Daniel Bryan away for free on television just yet. But that would be his first one-on-one match. So then we have the real Emmett B. And shout out to Emmett. Sent me in quite a few questions, so, you know, I really, really appreciate that. It says, one, do you think we get Ronda Rousey versus Nia Jax sooner than later? I think you get it later. That's a match you want to build to. You want Nia Jax to be really strong, and you want, and you know, really somebody who can carry a feud and carry a match. And you want Ronda Rousey to kind of be on her best to carry a feud and carry a match as well, and it'll be a collision course. Obviously, somebody has to play heel, somebody has to play face. As much as I said that Rousey should be a heel, I think she's got to play face, and she got to be the one to take down Nia Jax. And then he says, do I think Ronda Rousey will turn on, well, I think it'll be a heel turn, a double turn. Yeah, sorry about that. Yeah, he said, do I think there'll be a double turn in the Angle Rousey versus Stephanie and Triple H match? No, I can't see it at all. Nobody really wants to cheer for Stephanie McMahon and Triple H. We haven't seen them two really be a face, and if we have, it definitely was not memorable. So I don't think we see a double turn at all. So, and then another question: is there still a dream match to be had? Oh, absolutely. And we will get them. You have Daniel Bryan, Shinsuke Nakamura. You have Bobby Lashley versus Brock Lesnar in the WWE. At both of them being, you know, on top of the A game. You still have Triple H and Bobby Roode. You know, so there's still some dream matches. Obviously, Ronda Rousey versus Asuka. So, yeah, there's some dream matches. If you wanted to go to the mid-card, Adam Cole versus Dolph Ziggler. Adam Cole versus Daniel Bryan. So, let's move on. And another question. This one coming from Tim at TKO Sports Talk 1. Is it possible that Rousey turns on Angle at WrestleMania? I think that is possible. If you know, Rousey's, like I said, she just seems like such a heel. Why not make her the corporate team's, as you know, they used to call it the corporate team's hired gun. Why not make that for Rousey, for the authority? Why not make her the, you know, the woman who takes out everybody? I don't think it will happen, but it would be interesting to see. I mean, there's rumors that this match could go and last at WrestleMania. How would you like that? We got another question from Lucille at I Speak Life. That's LYFE. She says she feels the Money in the Bank for the women was useless and disappointing, since technically a man won. What is my thoughts? I don't think it was useless. As much as I hate it, and when I tell you I hate it, I hated the way they did that. I still don't think it's useless. I love that Carmella has not cashed in. I do love the teases, but I do think that Carmella will cash in at WrestleMania. What a moment that would be. Oh, I almost forgot this question from Emmett. Oh, man. Emmett says, other than Sting versus Taker, what else did we miss out on? Hulk Hogan versus Ric Flair at WrestleMania. Seriously, though, we missed out on Sting and John Cena. Staying Randy Orton. We missed out on those. People might not like it, but Daniel Bryan versus Chris Benoit. Daniel Bryan versus Kurt Angle. That's another dream match to be had, by the way. Bret Hart versus Kurt Angle. We missed out on that. You know, I could go on and on, but you know what? I'm going to save that one. I'm going to save some more responses for the Wrestling Realm, where you can get the real Dwayne Allen and myself with that one, because that's a good one. We got at Mr. V, his name is Mr. V at Lib Superstar. Would you want to see Asuka and Ronda Rousey headline WrestleMania 35? No. Sorry. Not that I'm not one of people saying, not one of people saying, oh, women shouldn't headline. I don't want to see those two headline. Right now, I just don't see me being invested, because, to be honest with you, both of them bore me on the mic. So I just can't see me really getting invested in them talking. I can't see them, me taking them seriously. So no, I don't want to see them headline. What I want to see Charlotte and Ronda Rousey headline? Sure. I wouldn't even, people might not like it, but I wouldn't mind seeing Charlotte and Sasha Banks headline at WrestleMania in the future. Bayley and Sasha Banks headline at WrestleMania. But right now, no. So thank you for those questions, ladies and gentlemen. I'm getting ready to wrap up here, but before I go, let me tell you where you can find me. Make sure you are subscribed to this show on SoundCloud, YouTube, iTunes, Stitcher, and Google Play. Make sure you tweet me at Brian H. Waters. Make sure you check me out. Make sure you check out my retweets too, because I'm always retweeting a lot of my friends who have podcasts. Like I said, the Wrestling Marks of Excellence, View from the Top, Roll, Brocast, Tag Me In Bro, and more. Glorious, Josh and Stu. I mean, I could go on and on. I apologize if I didn't name you. Let me know. I got you the next show. But make sure you check it out, TheRealDwayneAllen.com. He just put out an awesome piece on Daniel Bryan. Well, he said he didn't watch the speech. I was shocked, you know what I mean? Dwayne and I pretty much talk every day. Didn't even know, you know, all this time. You know, I remember telling him, you know, man, speech was this, that, and other. And I'm pretty sure we talked about it. Never knew he didn't watch it. Read the article, and, you know, as he goes in, just about how the greatness of Daniel Bryan. So, obviously, you know, I've read it twice. Make sure you subscribe to our channels. Make sure you follow us on Facebook at Wrestling Realm. Make sure you're liking us on Twitter at Wrestling Realm. You see what I did there. Make sure you are liking our Instagram page at, guess what, Wrestling Realm. You type in Wrestling Realm, you'll be able to find everything. That is WREALM. So, until next week, I am Brian H. Waters. So long, everybody.